Welcome to Texans on Tap. I'm Brandon Strange with Charlie Polillo and Josh Jordan. You can read their work on sportsmap.com and follow them on X at Polillo and at JoshJordan975. On today's episode, we're going to preview Sunday's matchup between Miami versus Houston. We're going to give you some matchups to watch for. And we also have some Texans injury news to react to. Gents, the 6-7 Dolphins come into NRG winners of 4 of their last 5. They're only averaging a tick over 20 points per game for the season, but are averaging 28 points over their last 5. They are not a great team, as the record indicates, but a dangerous team, especially against Houston, which has that thin secondary, having to account for Tyreek Hill. So let's start on that side of the ball. What are some matchups you guys are watching for on defense that can help contain Tua and this Miami offense that's been hot as of late?
Yeah, the Dolphins stats have to all be taken with grains of salt, because there's the with Tua Tagovailoa at quarterback Dolphins and with anyone else who is at quarterback for the Dolphins, right? Tua has played in 9 of the 13 games. They're 5-4, 4-5 in his starts, but they lost the first 2 games after he came back from the latest concussion, but not because the offense didn't do its job. I mean, they lost a 30-27 game at Buffalo, for instance. Brandon, you highlighted recently, averaging about 28 points over the last 5 games. They're fairly balanced. You know, they don't have a star back, but the former Texas Ag, Devin Achane, is solid. In the passing game, you highlighted Tyreek Hill, who's having his worst year in a few. Right, last 3 seasons, 111, 119, and 119 receptions. He's pacing for 85. So it's not like he's going to the old man's home, but maybe he's lost a half step. Or, well, you give him the extra 4 games with Tua as opposed to second and third string guys, but only 11.2 yards per catch for Tyreek Hill, a guy who's usually in the 14-15 range. But Jalen Waddle is a good receiver and an athletic tight end who took over the game in overtime last week against the Jets in Jonnu Smith. The critical matchup in this game to me, Pens. Teron Armstead is an outstanding left tackle, a better football player this season than Laremy Tunsil, for instance. And for all Laremy Tunsil's false starting early in the year, Tunsil's a good left tackle. Armstead's been better by all the grading systems. But going back to all his years in New Orleans, durability has been a question. Last week against the Jets, Armstead 5 plays, had to come out. In his stead, the second-round draft choice out of the University of Houston, Patrick Paul, who's not ready for prime time yet, is a left tackle starter in the NFL. If Danielle Hunter or Will Anderson get to get after Patrick Paul, that's a big boost for the Texans' pass rush opportunities in this game. So down to the weekend, if Armstead's playing, the Dolphins are a much liver dog, not just offensively, but in the game.
If we even make the sample size a little smaller, Dolphins 32-plus points in 3 of their last 4 games. So I think this is going to be a high-scoring game. It's the third largest total of the week. So Texans got to get some points on the board here. They don't average nearly as many points as the Dolphins. So I think with Waddle, that's one of the matchups I'm watching, is Kamari Lassiter. We know all about the 40 time not being great. Waddle is a burner. I could see some mismatches where they could take advantage of him. Waddle is a little limited, I think, with the hamstring, but he is expected to play. Tyreek Hill, I think him and Stingley, that's going to be a huge part of it. D'Amico said this week that a lot of this is going to be on the safeties, making sure their eyes are in the right spots. They don't get fooled by what D'Amico called eye candy. You know, if these guys get a step on you, or, you know, they're gone. They're that fast, that explosive. And Tua has been fantastic recently. He has 288 passing yards in his 4 straight games, and he's over 300 passing yards in 3. I think the other factor with Tua is he gets rid of the ball really quick. So you wonder, is that going to be an issue where Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter just aren't able to get to him because he distributes the ball so quickly?
And Tua is one of the most accurate placers of the football in the game. And they do a lot of timing stuff, which maybe factors into Tyreek Hill's yards per being down. But, you know, Tyreek Hill, who's been probably the best home run threat wide receiver over the last 5 years, going back to his time in Kansas City, since the opener, he does not have a reception for more than 30 yards. That's a stunning number to me. But where have the Texans been vulnerable? To the big play in the passing game. So does Hill have a big breakout in terms of the big plays, right? No Jalen Petrie, not just for the Dolphins, but for the rest of the way. That is a blow to the Texans secondary. I mean, it's not like losing prime Troy Polamalu or Ed Reed, Ravens Ed Reed, not Texans Ed Reed, but it's a loss. Right? Jimmy Ward and Eric Murray can be vulnerable back there. Tua's completion percentage at 73.8, if he maintains that the rest of the season, it's the third highest in the history of the NFL for a season. Only Drew Brees with two seasons higher than Tua's number at 73.8. So if he has protection, they're going to make plays in the passing game, which includes Achane. He has 63 receptions, I think it is. 63 receptions, 7.5 yards per. So they try to flare it out to him, a little wheel route action with him, little circle routes over the middle. Texans linebackers are going to have to be on point dealing with Achane out of the backfield.
And no Azeez Alshire to come in and help with that this week, which could be a big part. So that's something I'll be worrying about too. And just the physicality, right? You lose Petrie, you lose Alshire. Those are two of your most physical defensive players. So Jimmy Ward's another guy that can you know, pop you too. But that's something to keep in mind, is the guys that really are the enforcers on the Texans defense, they're not going to be out there this week.
However, we did have a Christian Harris spotting at practice this week. He's been sidelined with that calf strain for the first 13 games of the season. Obviously, we won't know whether he'll be active for Sunday's game or not, but getting Harris back just in general would be a big boon for this Texans defense that could desperately use the depth for all the reasons that you guys mentioned. On offense for Houston, nothing has come easy for most of the season. CJ Stroud told the media this week that the off week was beneficial to the team's mind, body, and spirit. But on the body front, Juice Scruggs hasn't been at practice this week as of this taping, so we'll keep an eye on that. Kenyon Green, though, back at practice. So that's a good or a bad sign, depending on how you value that addition back to the line. What do you guys expect Houston's offense to look like versus Miami's defense?
Yeah, we've all heard that phrase, subtraction by addition, right? Wait, it's supposed to be the other way around. The Texans, you'd think, should be well positioned to do some work offensively. The Dolphins, overall, there's nothing special about them. To highlight a couple of players, just amazing that Calais Campbell remains a solid NFL player, 38 years old as a defensive end. That is very impressive. They don't have one singular hell-raising pass rusher, but their sack leader is a defensive tackle. So you're always worried where the Texans are vulnerable on the interior. If there's someone who can really push the pocket and get heat on C.J. Stroud, that can be a concern. They have one certainly heralded high-profile star cornerback for quite a while in Jalen Ramsey. He's 30 now. I don't know if he's lost a half step, but he likes the challenge of taking the opposing team's number one guy. Nico Collins against Jalen Ramsey. You're the Texans. You don't shy away from going to Nico Collins. I don't care who is covering. I'm not saying throw in if he's double covered. But if Ramsey is on Nico, well, you should have some favorable matchups elsewhere in the passing game.
I'll be looking at that offensive line, whether it's Kenyon Green or Zachary Thomas, who they picked up about a month ago. It's not a good sign when you're picking up guys off waivers from the Patriots who have arguably a top three worst offensive line in the NFL. So that's a concern there with Kenyon Green. Some other things I'm looking at, Chop Robinson, the rookie, per PFF, he's actually top five in pass rush win percentage. So maybe he's a guy that could get going. At least the Texans do have good tackles. I'm not so worried about that, but you know how they do these twists and stunts and get the guards all confused. We've seen that all season long. That could be a problem again. And then just with the Texans offensive line, I saw some stats I wanted to bring up. First one's kind of simple. Texas O-line, according to PFF, they're 26th this year. And that actually might be a little kind. I saw something here. It was on Twitter. Real Frank Bank tweeted it out. And it's a stat from FTN Data. I've seen a lot of people kind of talk about it. Like Wexler was talking about it, Seth Payne. So this really shocked me when I saw this. And I was looking at, for teams blown blocks and pressures allowed, the Texans are the worst. They have blown a block or allowed a pressure on over 30% of their plays. The next closest team to being that bad is the Bears at a little over 25%. So they're last in blown blocks by more than one per game, the Texans are. They're last in QB pressures, and they've had 50 more blown blocks or pressures together than any other team. The bottom three is the Texans are dead last. The Patriots are right next to him at second to last, and then the Raiders at third to last. So, I mean, CJ, I mean, there's either a blown block or a pressure 30% of the time. It's no surprise that they've really struggled this year. And then you look back at this first start of the season, CJ has been sacked in every single game this year. He was sacked here. I have it right here. He was sacked. Let's see, four more times in six of the first 13 games. Four of those six games featured Kenyon Green at starting guard. He got hurt during the Jets game, but he did start that game. So this is a big concern with if Kenyon does come back this week. He's been kind of the magic problem all year long, but it looks like he's probably the better option than Thomas off waivers. So it kind of goes back to that narrative. We're talking about, oh, CJ regressing. Well, he's dealing with the worst offensive line in the NFL, and it's not even close.
Kendrick Green's return wouldn't exactly feel like the cavalry riding in. combination of poor play and poor coaching. And when you have schematic breakdowns three quarters of the way through the season routinely, I mean, come on. But they're the Miami Dolphins. They're not the Miami Sharks. It's not a feeding frenzy pass rush. They have 24 sacks in 13 games. Only the Atlanta Falcons have fewer sacks in the entire NFL. So if CJ Stroud has to run all over the place or is tasting turf, repeatedly against Miami, well, then the Texans are putting their season in some jeopardy, right? Because not to cheat ahead toward the X-Factor stuff. Okay, to cheat ahead toward the X-Factor stuff, right? The Texans lose this game. They're very well looking at 8-8. And you look at the Colts finishing schedule, right? And the Texans game goes off 2 hours earlier than the Colts at Denver on Sunday, and you're thinking, all right, the Colts should lose that game. Hey, the Texans beat the Dolphins. Colts lose the Broncos. AFC South clinched. Yeah, but if those results are inverted and the Colts have three soft games left while the Texans have the Chiefs and Ravens on deck and in a hole, wow. So while the Dolphins are playing for their playoff existence on Sunday, this is a huge game for the Texans.
Charlie gave us his X factor for the game. So Josh, we'll go to you. What's your X factors for Sunday's game?
Yeah, I already hit on the protection stuff. And to be clear, it's not just the offensive line, right? It's everybody involved in the protection where they've had blown blocks and they've had pressures. So I'll go a different route with my X factor. Remember that guy, Tank Dell? Man, he used to be awesome, right? What happened to him? Was there a way Slowik maybe put some wrinkles in the offense, drew up some plays to try and get him going this week? The Texans don't have that explosiveness outside of Nico Collins. If they could get somebody besides Mixon and Nico to really produce, I think that would be huge. And we saw what CJ and Tank could do last year. I mean, they were one of the best connections in the league. Can they refine that magic for the Dolphins game and as we move forward?
I'll go with Danielle Hunter as my X factor. They desperately need to contain Tua in this game. As we record this, the Texans are 3-point favorites on most books. Point totals around 46.5. Josh, this week we start with you. Final score predictions, Dolphins, Texans.
All right. I'm going to try and be positive here. We know it's going to be a higher scoring game. I'm going to go Texans 30, Dolphins 27.
Same church, different pew for the most part. A couple of other quick items. They have to disrupt Tua's timing because if not, he's likely to carve them up. We talked about Tua's completion percentage. And, you know, the Texans, they've been top five in sacks for most of the year. Yeah, well, they've also given up the most touchdown passes in the entire NFL. It's a weird combination. They're second in the league in interceptions. They're dead last, having yielded 26 touchdown passes. And we talked about the Dolphins' weaponry there. You know, my vibe on this game is not great, but I'll put it on D'Amico to convey the proper sense of urgency that we know the Dolphins coming to town feeling good about themselves. Yeah, they needed overtime to beat the Jets, but they beat them. They've won 4 out of 5. They're still viable in the wild card hunt. Oh, boy. Texans 27, Dolphins 24. And let's remember, the Texans have had the extended prep time. The Dolphins coming off a Sunday overtime game. And while they're not traveling the country, they're halfway across the country on the road.
Charlie, you kind of undercut me a la Price is Right. I'm going to go 27-26 Texans. I think it'll be a nail biter of a game. And I'll take the Texans just because they're at home. They seem to be a better team at home. I think we'll wrap it there. That's going to be it for this episode of Texans on Tap. We'll see you back here live on YouTube late afternoon following Dolphins Texans. So make sure you're subscribed with your notifications on. Also, if you're an Astros fan, the three of us host an Astros podcast called Stone Cold Stros on our other YouTube channel, Sports Map Houston. So make sure you're subscribed over there as we're covering all the free agency news during the offseason. And by the sounds of it, we're going to have some new content coming up very soon. Until then, come on back here Sunday. Join us after the game. Hopefully, we're breaking down another Houston win. Until then, go Texans.